excuse. And so I do try to do whatever I can. But man, when you get in the Word and you start seeing the measuring rod there, the expectations for us when it comes to family and when it comes to these kinds of things, you can't help. I mean, if you've got unless you're a sociopath, you can't help but fall under some conviction. And it always reminds us of the importance of family. And today we're talking about mothers. And I'll tell you, of all the roles, of all the jobs out there, the jobs of the father and the mother in the home are by far the most important roles in our world, in all of existence. And I believe that thoroughly. Well, when I put together this message last year, I struggled, it being my first year as a pastor, on what passage I would preach from. I didn't know what passage, you know, what would be a good passage. And so I went and I did some research and I looked and saw what other famous pastors were preaching off of and where they were going and what kind of messages or what kind of exhortations they were giving the moms and so on and so forth. And what I noticed was, as I looked at all these different passages, that almost all of them unanimously took this opportunity to exhort moms and tell moms how they could be better moms. And that didn't seem to set right with me. I mean, some good, you know, conservative pastors did that. But the conviction I fall under is this. What's really been put on my heart is the fact that our society is so blatantly neglectful of our mothers. I mean, you look at our society at large and the disrespect that kids have for their parents and on up into adults and how we treat our moms throughout the year. And we take the one day that is set aside to honor our mothers and then we tell them how they could be better moms. You know, as if it was it's all your fault. If you were just a better mom, you know, our society would not be like this. And so in good conscience, I couldn't do that. So today I want to make a somewhat exhortational to the rest of us. You know, moms are welcome to listen. But the rest of us, you may be a mom and still have a mom and still need this message. And how we should treat our moms. So, I'm going to do something this year, and hopefully, like I said, from here forward, that I rarely, rarely ever do, and that is I'm going to preach topically and not from a set of passages, portion of Scripture. I am going to teach on a subject, if you will. I had a lot of time to examine myself against the things I plan on sharing today, and I'll tell you right now, it didn't take me long to realize that, like many of you, I fall incredibly short. I fall incredibly short of the biblical definition of honoring my mother. I love my mom very much, and I try. But it's the biblical definition there, as you're going to see, is the Bible demands a lot from us on how we treat our moms. So I want to get into this message, and I want to open it up with a question. Who can tell me, what did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Anybody? Sorry, I can't hear you. The greatest commandment, love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. What's the second greatest commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that you read, the law and the prophets, the law is the first five books, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the law. And the prophets is everything from there forward. When you look at in his reference, what he's talking about. Everything there in the Old Testament is all summed up in these two commandments. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we look at our pillars. What's our pillars? Our Ten Commandments. We look at those. We say, what do those tell us about those two commandments? Well, the Ten Commandments are how you love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So if you turn over to Exodus chapter 20, that's where our Ten Commandments are. And we're going to read them together when you get there. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here the commandments start. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Those are your Ten Commandments in sum. Now, catch my place here. I want to share a few things that I observed in studying the Bible. The first thing, as I took Greek, I learned is that, you know how we have that exclamation mark at the end of something to really emphasize something's importance? You know, if I wanted to say, and the Word was God, and I really wanted to emphasize that the Word, being Jesus Christ, was God, I will put an exclamation mark behind God, and that tells me that I emphasize this statement. The emphasis is on God, and the Word was God. The Greeks didn't do that, neither did the Hebrews, because they didn't have punctuation. They didn't have periods and exclamation marks and quotations and all of that. What they did was they used order. They used the order of the verse. And so that sentence that we read, and the Word was God, didn't actually read like that in the Greek. It read, and God was the Word. And that told you, okay, that's important. God, the importance there, the emphasis on there is that the Word was God. And God was the Word. As you read through the Scripture, I only say that, as you read through the Scriptures and you look at the writings, you notice whenever you're given a list or you're given a set of commandments or a set of do's and don'ts, the emphasis always goes to what's first in order. You follow me? So, if I list 10 commandments, the emphasis goes on the first commandments that are listed. What's the first and foremost commandment? Love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. What are the first four of the Ten Commandments? The first four of the Ten Commandments are how you love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Why are they first? What's that? Wait. They're first because they are the most important. They are the most important. Why is it most important that you love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? Because without loving God, without your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and I keep mixing up the order there, I can get away with that in English. But without doing that, you have no capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you look at some people who aren't saved and they still love, they still love to a certain capacity, but they don't love their neighbor as their self. They can't. They do not have the capacity to. It is only when you have a relationship and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that you are able to love your neighbor as yourself. We're not just saying love your neighbor a whole lot. We're saying love your neighbor as yourself. So it's important. That's the reason why it's given to us first in order. Now, beginning in verse 12, we see the commandments on how to love our neighbors as ourselves. What's the very first commandment given there on how we are to love our neighbors as ourselves? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your mother and your father. Why? Yeah, but why is it first? Why is it first? Because it's the most important. It's the most important. You look around at our society. You look around at the deterioration of our culture. You look at these kids and the way that they treat their parents and the way they treat every authority in our land and the way that they rebel, and it continues to get worse and worse. And it all started with how they treat their parents, or how they were allowed to treat their parents, the relationship between the parents and the children. I was watching an episode of Cops the other day, and these police officers asked these kids not to skateboard on the sidewalk at night. It's against the law in Cincinnati to do that. And the kids just looked at them and said, whatever, and they kept on skating. And the police officer pulled over the kids and said, hey, gave them a lecture. And the kids are just sitting there smarting off to the police officer and saying, oh, yeah, why don't you go eat some donuts and stuff like that. Whatever their comments were, it was pretty bad. And the police officer finally says, okay, enough is enough. I'm just going to write you a ticket. And he wrote him a ticket for $124. And then it put a little sub-note under there. The tickets were contested and no fines were required. I'm thinking, what kind of a judge would throw out that, allow those kids to treat those police officers like that, and just throw out that tick? There's no consequence. There's no consequence. That's what our culture's coming to. And it all starts in the home. It all starts in the home. If you don't respect your parents, you're not going to respect the authorities. John MacArthur says this. He says, the key to societal stability is reverence and respect for parents and their authority. Respect for your parents is a demonstration of your heart's capacity to receive instruction. But you know what else? Respect for your parents is a demonstration for your heart's capacity to love others. I want you to think about this. Who loves you more than your mom? Who? I mean, there's certain people that come from dysfunctional families, and you know, I come from a dysfunctional family, not with my mom. My mom was great. But think about who loves you more than your mom? Nobody. Nobody loves you more than your mom. Your mom does not see any of your faults. Your mom does not see any of your errors. Hence the statement, he has a face that only a mother could love. You know, where does that come from? You know, moms don't see your mistakes. They look past your mistakes. My son misbehaves and I want to discipline him. And my wife is there. She says, honey, you know, he didn't really mean it. It's like, baloney, he meant it. And he's going to get disciplined. But, you know, she's there. She looks past that. And if you have someone that loves you like that, and you can't respect them, and you can't love them, and honor them, then what is your capacity to love other people out there who do not love you like that? You have no capacity. If you can't love your parents and honor your parents, just forget the rest of the world, because nobody loves you like your parents do. Fact. One more observation. This is the first commandment, but this is the only commandment given that is attached to a promise. Who can tell me what the promise is? You'll let them live. Yeah, you could read it like that. You know, honor your mother and your father, that your days will be long on this earth. Son, I want to let you know, if you dishonor us, your days are not going to be long on this earth. No, it's the actual statement. You threw me off. Thanks, Mike. The actual statement there is that your days will be long on this land. And to Israel, that was a real promise. And in fact, it says, if you look at it, in this land which the Lord your God is giving you, they are coming in to the land of Canaan. They are coming in to conquer and to take over this land. And they are receiving this inheritance. It's a physical land, you see. To the Jews, the promise there was is that if you honor your mother and your father, your days will be long in this land. God will not remove you from this inheritance, from this promise, you see. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 7 and 15, if you want to write that down and look it up later, one of the reasons why Israel was pulled from the land that was given, there were many reasons, but one of them was is that they were not honoring their mother and their father. Take that and apply that to our society and the condition that our culture is in right now. You take that, you take the dysfunction that this nation is in right now. And I'll tell you right now, if we continue to perform the same kind of dysfunction in family, in culture, in society as we are now, sooner or later, we will not be in this land. This country is on the verge of going bankrupt. And a lot of people give that way more play than it needs. But, you know, some people don't give it any play. And we need to understand that all of that comes from a dysfunctional family that does not honor authority. And it begins in the home where we do not honor our mothers and our fathers. Paul personalized this to every Christian in Ephesians chapter 6. And he says that this is the first commandment with promise, and that our days will be long upon the land. And understand that whether it's your life, you know, this doesn't mean that you're going to be 127 or whatever before you die, as long as you honor your mother and father. And maybe you can give it that application. But we see that's not true in society. But what we do see is that if we learn these practices, that we will have a healthy culture that is sustainable, that honors God. I mean, imagine this. Imagine if every Christian home, if every child born in a Christian home grew up with at least the same zeal that mom and dad had for the Lord, or more. Imagine that. Imagine how fast the church would grow then. Imagine what kind of a nation we would be living in then under those circumstances. Those are reasons, those are good reasons for us to honor our parents, our mother and our father, with emphasis on mothers today. Now, before we get into the reasons, and before you turn me off, some of you who don't have moms and dads that are still with us, or have come from a dysfunctional family or whatever, I want you to understand that though your family out there may not apply directly to your mother right now, you have a new family in Christ. And so understand that even though your mother may not be with you anymore, you have mothers in Christ. Jesus Christ, when they told him, "Lord, your mother and your brothers are outside," what did he say? He looked and he said, "Who is my mother and my brother? Behold, whosoever does the will of the Father is my mother and my brother and my sister." 1 Timothy chapter 5, I have it down here. 5 verse 2 tells us to treat every older woman as a mother. So, Mike was talking about earlier, and he exhorted us very well in talking about Barb and Liz and Helen. Maybe not quite old enough to qualify. Guess up there. But they are our mothers. And so the application we talk about when we talk about honoring our mothers and fathers apply to them as well. So understand that. Okay. As we're going through, I would like you, there's some clipboards there, some notes, if you don't have your own materials, but take some notes. And I would like you to grade yourself on these things. How to honor your mother and your father. Or emphasis on mother today. Grade yourself on this. Give yourself a 1 through 5. 1 being you do horrible at this, and 5 being you do outstanding on this. And really the application is here, just at the end. You're going to be able to look at it and ask yourself where you're weak. And you can exhort yourself to do better there. So what does honor your mother mean? When we talk about honoring our mother, what does honoring our mother mean? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor, there is the Hebrew word, kabad. Kabad. And it literally means to be made heavy, to take on the load.